can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Glad you can be with us today. I'm Craig Scheman. Pete Shepard out playing golf. Took the day off to do so in his Bonita Ryder Cup. No update from him. Left me hanging. It's exactly what I expected. Haven't heard from Chris either, who had the vasectomy today. He's gone. Icing down the boys probably about now. I think he went through with it, guys. We got Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Going to be spinning the stacks of wax literally today. Going to be playing Elvis bumper music today, all day.
Craig, I would think, though, that not hearing from Chris would be more of a sign that maybe he bailed out on it because he would be embarrassed and ashamed.
He was cowardly.
Rather than bragging to say, I did go through with it. You know what I'm saying?
Just saying. Yeah. You know, we were toying, and by the way, the reason we're playing Elvis is because he died on this day in 1977. We're going to have Elvis trivia during, instead of Wikipedia today, we're going to do Rickipedia. Rick gets to do it on the other side of the glass. I had an uncomfortable moment in radio yesterday, and it had to do with Chris and his vasectomy. Because, look, Chris is an open book. It's what makes him great on the radio. I think we all try to be an open book with our lives. I mean, Chris went the extra mile, if you will, by sharing everybody his vasectomy situation.
Rick Horro seemed to be real excited to hear about it.
He was. You heard that yesterday at 5 o'clock. Yes.
Yeah.
He was very excited. But then I've always half jokingly, you know, Chris just had his second kid, got a very lovely family, two boys. And I said, you know, your wife's going to be wanting a girl and wanting to try for another one. You know how that, I said, are you sure you want to? And anyway, I was just kind of teasing him over the last few weeks. And then Chris let it out, being as open as he is. He said the night before, his wife asked him, are you sure you're going to do this? And I was like, uh-oh, you've opened up the door, and she's thinking about it. And, you know, Chris wanted no part of it. And here's the thing that made it uncomfortable. My philosophy is when something's out there on radio, you go all in. I mean, it's what the listeners want to hear. The listeners want to be the fly on the wall. But when you're dealing with somebody else's private marriage situation, that's kind of a line of demarcation that you want to be careful before you cross. So I was poking him, and Pete was poking and prodding as well. And I couldn't tell because Chris is good-spirited and good-natured. I think he was getting a little tired of it. To tell you the truth yesterday. And so, anyway, I may back off that approach. Everything else is still free game. But you don't want to get into somebody's marriage.
But that's a 50-50 decision right there, right? That's not something that just the guy says, well, I'm going to do this. And the wife says, are you sure?
Most of the time, the woman tells the guy to do it.
Right.
And I think, you know, Chris talks a big game in a tough game, how he's man in charge. I think she's in charge over there.
They usually are.
Some texts to share with you on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Green Falcon checking in. It says, OMG, I'm 51. I remember exactly where I was when I heard that Elvis died. My parents had a lot of his records, and I knew them pretty well, even being that young. Same with me. I remember living in Carmel, Indiana as a kid, and I remember the Indianapolis Star coming out. And the big, bold headlines, Elvis Presley had died. And that's the thing about Elvis Presley. He spans so many generations. I mean, he became big in the 50s. He was bloated and sad, but doing the Vegas thing in the 70s before he died. But my mom actually, she went. I think my mom went to an Elvis concert. I think, if I remember correctly. And then here I was, like, and now here we are all these years later still talking about it. And obviously his impact. Or maybe she didn't go to a concert. Maybe she saw him on the Ed Sullivan Show, which they would not show him below the waist.
That's right.
too much hip swiveling.
That's right.
Maybe that's what it was. I couldn't remember. His last concert. Oh, I should use this for Wikipedia. His last concert, even though he was doing the Vegas thing, was, I was living in Indiana at the time. It was at Market Square Arena in Indianapolis just a couple weeks prior before his death. They have a picture of him out there in the hallway. Well, they did. Market Square Arena no longer exists. And then they knocked that down and they built Conseco Fieldhouse, which is called something else now that the Pacers play in. But that's a diversion in and of itself. Let's see. What else we have here? Oh, you upset Hootie, apparently, when you said no one cares about Paul McCartney, question mark. How dare you, sir?
But it's true. Did you know Paul McCartney put a new... Were you excited about Paul McCartney's new album last year?
Not... Well, here's where I'm going to get myself into trouble. No, I did not.
Well, you're not a McCartney fan.
Well, I don't mind Paul McCartney. Actually was in the same room as him once. Didn't talk to him or anything. But, I've gotten in trouble on this show, and the reason you said that, we said, can you imagine if Elvis was still alive today at 84, and we talked about all these others that died young, how we try to imagine how they would be later in life, and you made the point, I mean, I'm paraphrasing here, but we talked about how certain people would be in the future when they got old, and then you mentioned Paul McCartney, he's still cranking out albums and nobody noticed. No, I did not know Paul McCartney had a new album last year. I've gotten in trouble on this show by saying I think the Beatles are a little overrated. I don't mind the Beatles. I don't dislike the Beatles. But I never go out of my way, oh, I got to hear this Beatles song. There are very few songs. Now, the Beatles songs I do like are the old ones. You know, I Saw Her Standing There, I Want to Hold Your Hand. Love that stuff. But they got a little trippy with me when they started, you know, Strawberry Fields Forever.
See, I like that Beatles much better.
You like the older stuff? You
know, no, the newer stuff. The more psychedelic, you know, Day in the Life, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds era, yeah. Beatles. Yeah.
I don't mind it. I will listen to it if it comes on the radio and I'm listening to said station. But I won't go out of my way, and it's not like they're none of my favorites. So I made the smart aleck comment on the show one day that the Beatles are overrated, and you would have thought I just opened up the gates of hell. Unbelievable.
The last time I was here, I played a John Lennon song coming back that you didn't recognize, and Pete was absolutely incensed that you weren't familiar with the song Nobody Told Me.
It was a B-sider. It was a C-sider.
No, we looked it up. Remember, it was a pretty big single.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Other texts on the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Soccer guy, time for Chris to ice down the boys. Yep, I guarantee that's exactly what he's doing right now. Beefarino guy wants to know if Chris's new nickname could be Numbnuts. I think so. I think we already have a Numbnuts. I think somebody already has that name on our nickname.
He could be Numbnuts too.
Well, we could do that. We have done that.
You've done that with
other people. Let's see here. Green Falcon, regarding how Pete did in his golf tournament today. He trashed his back. That's how he did. You're probably right.
Now, is that a friend of his? Would that be inside information or just a guess?
No, that's just a guess because Pete gets hurt all the time.
Yeah, playing golf.
How many times, Rick, have you and I done shows together because we were all that was
golfing,
left?
Right.
And he would hurt his back golfing even though he was injured ahead of time and knew that golfing probably would not be the best idea for being able to sit in a chair and do a radio show the next day.
This is not unprecedented today.
Exactly. We know better. Let's see here. Boomer said, hey, didn't Pete say if he didn't drink too much, he would call? He hasn't called. Guess we know now. Could be. Could be, no doubt. Let's see here. Bachelorette saying the Cardinals were painful to watch, sick of Kyler Murray and Kingsbury already. Cliff, their head coach. They got some work to do. Kyler Murray looks like a diminutive little boy back there with a gun for an arm. I'll give him that. But he looks lost back there. Let's see. Right guard texting in. Kyler Murray looks like the kid that won a contest to be quarterback for the day. His size will be a problem if they don't move the pocket on most plays. I agree with you on that. Godzilla texting him. Lamar Jackson's touchdown run was spectacular, but there was a... You're right. It was his best play of the night. They had to call it back. There was a holding. No question about that. Tank for Trevor guy says, I wonder how bad Antonio Brown's feet itch from all the new skin growing. Having your foot itch is one of the most annoying things ever. Oh, that's true. Does new skin growth promote, is itching a sign of healing? I don't know. Let's see. What else do we have here? 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. 6 foot 3 inches says, I'll remember where I was when Chris's manhood died.
He needs more milestones in his life.
Day late, dollar short says, I came home from school that day. His mom was crying, asked what was wrong. She said Elvis had died.
Boy, that's weird because that's exactly how it happened with me, sir.
Came
home from school and my mom was actually crying about it.
Really?
Very, very upset about it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and I'm not surprised by that. I'm sure that was, I mean, Elvis was a big part of people's lives, indirectly, of course, but I'm sure he was. Debbie Downer texting in, what a great show today, Craig and Rick. Maybe Craig can make the Craig and Chris show with Rick behind the glass. Heaven keep it going. Now, come on now. That's an unfair comment.
I didn't think so. I'm kind of flattered.
Well, I mean, it seemed a little anti-Pete. I don't want to go there. Let's see. 239 says, I saw Elvis in Vegas. Not a concert, just a showroom act at the Landmark. Now, what? What would, not a concert, what would that entail? Like a one-man show? Certainly he'd be playing some music.
I mean, I don't know what a showroom act is.
Like a one-man show? Or is it Elvis Unplugged? I need more information, 239.
Elvis spoken word event? Elvis reading poetry?
Could be. Let's see. Boomer said, let it be while my guitar... Gently Weeps, Revolution. I guess he likes those Beatles songs. Sunset said, no, Chris needs to be snippy, in quotes. Forrest said, I thought Pete was holding the bag of ice for Chris. That's why they're both gone today. Oh, wow. Country Suck says, I need to get into radio. I don't know anybody with more days off than Pete Shepard.
Fact!
No, they all just came in waves this summer. That was all. 239, Kyla Murray looked like a scared rabbit being chased by a bear. Kind of did. Nick says, Kyler has a lot of room to grow as a quarterback. That's true. 239 says, Kyler Murray was having trouble hiking the ball. He looked lost. Well, he wasn't hiking, receiving the hike ball, I guess. Buddy S says, maybe Kyler Murray is rethinking his decision to turn down guaranteed baseball money. I would... Probably not, only because the guaranteed money he got with his football contract is way more than he got guaranteed from the A's. 6 foot three liked your comeback. He's had a lot of milestones, not just the one remembering where Chris was when he lost his manhood. Mr. Negative, Kyler needs lifts in his cleats. What was that? Did you see one you liked?
Chris is like plain M&Ms. No nuts.
Wow. Day late, dollar short, also a big fan of Rick Church. And Southpaw, I'm 36 years old. I can't name a single Beatles song.
Wow.
I recommend you go see the movie.
I wouldn't brag about that, friend.
Go see the movie yesterday. That's all that show is about. Wow. Oh, okay, 239. Tina Turner was the warm-up act for the Vegas show that Elvis did. Casinos... have these, it's like the showrooms where Britney said, yeah, I understand. I mean, he was doing a permanent gig in Vegas, but he had Tina Turner as an open? I, too, once saw Tina Turner as an opening act for Lionel Richie. I might argue that it should have been flipped, but it was right when Tina was kind of making her comeback. Good show, no doubt about it. All right, let's update you real quick on a couple of things as we're having fun there on the text line. A lot of great texts today. Keep them coming at 239-337-ESPN. Lee County High School football home games still off for tonight. They were the preseason exhibition games. But good news, we will have next week's season openers go as planned. The officials decided to honor the contract they signed in May. So they don't get a pay. They're going to be doing it for the $65 a game, and then they're going to hope to renegotiate for next year. So that is the latest. We will have Lee County football next week. Next week is the season opener for week number one. So that is good news for the kids out there. Maybe not so much for the officials who feel like they're very underpaid and would like a little more. I'll have to wait till next year for that. Hideki Matsuyama is at the top of the leaderboard of the BMX Championship. He is 10 under with a one-stroke lead. He's 7 under today through 14. Adam Hadwin, Lucas Glover, and Patrick Cantlay are all 9 under. Further on down, let's see. We had Brooks Koepka. He is in 28th place. He is 4 under, so he's 6 strokes back. Tiger Woods, 1 stroke behind him. Tiger in 35th place at 3 under. He's 2 under for the day through 14. And now you're all caught up. I'm keeping an eye on the BMW for you here. That's what I do. All right, so that catches us up on all of that. Don't forget, tonight we've got the Dolphins taking on the Buccaneers, preseason football. We'll have the Buccaneers version of the play-by-play with Gene Deckerhoff here on 99.3 ESPN tonight. And you Dolphins fans, you want to listen to the Dolphins, will be on our sister station, 96 K-Rock. The one thing I am most intrigued, well, a couple things I'm intrigued about by this game here tonight. And we had, and by the way, we had Chris Myers on earlier this week from NFL on Fox, and he'll be doing the TV broadcast for the Buccaneers. Obviously, want to see a few more snaps from Jameis Winston. Make sure he's not threw a lot of interceptions at practice this week. A lot. So, you know, against his guys and against in the dual practices against the Dolphins. So, I can see what they're doing. I can see what they're doing, Bruce Arians and company, and Byron Leftwich. Almost opposite of what Bruce Arians normally does. Bruce Arians likes his guys to strike deep for the long ball, vertical passing plays, get the ball downfield. I get that. It's almost like they've simplified things for Jameis Winston, and I don't know if this is going to backfire or not. They don't mind him being captain check down a little bit, make the sure play. I don't know if that's going to change or not. But the what did he throw? 6 passes last week. Most of them, they were mostly pretty quick passes, quick dropbacks and quick throws, and you know their guy, you know, meet the guy at a certain space and hit him with the ball. That's what I saw a lot of.
He had a great first drive, right? I mean, they marched right down the field and scored
a
touchdown.
It was very efficient, short, very quick, efficient, and snappy. Yes. I totally agree with that. I want to see, are they going to continue with that? Is that going to be their MO? Is he going to be able to take some shots? That was the one thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick last year, particularly in the first 3 weeks. He was not afraid to go deep, and he went deep. I thought there were times that Dirk Koetter and company kept Jameis too much in check, or he was just checking down over the middle, letting a ball sail and throwing an interception and having the fumbles. I want to see Jameis. Now, that's one thing I'm going to be looking forward to tonight. The other thing I'm going to keep my eye on, and we talked about this a little bit last week, the Dolphins seem like, I don't want to make too much out of one preseason game. And I know the big story there is Josh Rosen versus Ryan Fitzpatrick and who's going to be the starting quarterback. I get all that. They've got an undrafted wide receiver in Preston Williams that looked like he had been a Pro Bowler for years in his debut last week. Looked really, really good in their preseason win against the Falcons. He had 4 catches for 97 yards. Nice tiptoe diving action on the sideline, keeping his feet in. I mean, he looked like the real deal. He's huge. He's 6'5", 218 pounds. And he was undrafted. Based on just one game, and I say that loudly and clearly, based on one game, I don't want to put too much into it. He looked like the real deal. And to be undrafted, the Dolphins may have struck gold by accident by bringing him into camp. They got Kenny Stills, but I'm more intrigued by Preston Williams, and I want to see what he can do. And if he follows it up with another performance like last week, this week, then I'm gonna say, hey, this is the real deal. Now, there are people getting out of control. You know, Chris is a Dolphins fan. I think he's ordered his jersey already. Is he 82 or 84? I can't remember. He's all very excited about that. There was a fan quoted in an ESPN article, some dude named Paul Warfield. I'm sorry, not some dude named Paul. They're talking about Paul Warfield is actually the only wide receiver in the Ring of Honor from 70 to 74. And the fan said, put him up there in the Ring of Honor right with Paul Warfield. And I'm like, really? You'll put him in the Ring of Honor after four catches in a preseason game. But the Dolphin fan is just dying for something spectacular, dying for a spark, dying for a reason to get behind this team, which there are no expectations for this year. So he's the guy I'm going to be watching tonight, Preston Williams, and I think you should too. All right, when we come back, I want to come back and talk about some more of the games and the news that is attached to those games coming up this weekend. We got games Saturday, Sunday, and a Monday night game, so we're locked with NFL football. Plus, college football news. We've got the dates for the rankings releases. Those will come out. I'll tell you when that is. And, we'll tell you who, Sports Illustrated has been doing a lot of polls lately. We do a lot of polls. We do a lot of lists, do a lot of things that we compare. It's the 150th year of college football. Kind of a neat time, right? This is the 100th anniversary of the NFL and the 150th anniversary of college football. And so people are doing a lot of special things and lists. And remember, Sports Illustrated has been cranking out lists. Best this, longest this, got the best fight song. We'll share all that with you as well. And Ohio State's going to be naming their quarterback on Monday, too. So we'll catch you up on all that. And don't forget, we'll continue with our Elvis Presley tribute. He died on this day, 1977. More bumper music. Wikipedia later on today will be Wikipedia. We'll do Elvis trivia. All that coming up as we continue on a Friday. Get you ready for the weekend. No Pete, no Chris. I'm Craig Sheeman with Rick Church on the other side of the glass. It's the Sheeman and Shepherd Show on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out. Because I love you too much, baby.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. This is a good song. This is a good song. Playing Elvis bumper music today. He died on this day, 1977. Let this roll for a minute.
We can't go on together with suspicious.
Elvis Presley was 42 when he passed away on this date in 1977. We have Rick Church on the other side of the glass spinning the stacks of wax. It's nice to know we've got somebody over there that has heard of Elvis.
Yeah, I mean, if Chris were here, it would have been like, Elvis who?
Elvis who? Elvis Costello?
Elvis Costello?
he and Pete are out. We are rolling through a Friday. Wikipedia will be Wikipedia today in the 4 o'clock hour. It will be Elvis trivia. A lot of good questions for Elvis trivia. Looking forward to that. Meanwhile, back to the Stony Brook Golf Club text line. Boomer texting in says, my girlfriend cried for a week after Elvis died. Then again when John Lennon died. And he understood, but he did not cry. Great show. Thank you, Boomer. Appreciate the compliment. Gutsy Blues fan says, Kyler Murray needs stiletto cleats. He needs something, man. He looks like a little boy back there with a rocket arm once he gets the throw off. But still, got a long way to go from what I saw last night in that game. Forrest checking in on Chris's vasectomy says, Monday show, you should do all Nutcracker musical music. That's not a bad idea. Kind of like that one. It is also National Joke Day. I didn't know if you know that. Hello, Craig. What happens when you take the venom out of a cobra? You have a belt. Mad Duck in Naples says, Pete holding an ice bag for Chris. There's a mental picture I don't need. Yeah, I did mention that earlier today. Let's see. What else here? 941 says Bruce Arians should give Jameis Winston some crab legs for inspiration. I don't know. We'll see how he does tonight. That game will be tonight on 99.3 ESPN. Nick heard me talking about the new rookie phenom, Preston Williams, for the Dolphins, undrafted. Nick said he drafted Preston Williams in his fantasy league. Loved his college tape. Preston Williams had a lot of off-the-field issues, which made him undrafted. But, yeah, I'm excited to see him play.
Now, he actually said his Dynasty League, which is a fantasy football league where you keep the same team year after year.
Oh, I thought that was a typo.
I'm looking at it as a future prospect, I would assume.
Okay. Unless they leave a few spaces open for drafting new people each year. Huh. All right. Very good. Pretzel Squares just texting in. Hey, I just got off of work. Did Chris survive today? Listen, Pretzel Squares, I have not heard from Chris nor Pete today. Pete said he would call in with an update on his Ryder Cup golf outing. Maybe he embarrassed himself and doesn't want to report it. And I never got a full confirmation on whether Chris was going to man up and call in or at least text in that he's okay or how the experience was. I guess we'll have to wait till Monday's show. Let's see here. Jello Shot says, I'm only 35 years old, and that song gets me up and going. The Elvis song we just played. How about that? Shula says, play Great Balls of Fire on Monday. Jerry Lee Lewis! Or Brian Adams, Cuts Like a Knife, says Grand Poobah the Second. Very good. All right, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. In addition to tonight's game with the Bucks and the Dolphins, a couple other games in the NFL, Bills and Panthers, Bears taking on the Giants. Again, the curiosity there. Daniel Jones, how many snaps he gets, and how he looks. He made an amazing throw. Well, I said it was an amazing throw for a touchdown in the corner last week. Chris disagreed with me as he copied Dan Orlovsky's assessment of the play, saying that the ball was actually thrown up to the wrong hip. I don't know. I thought the ball was put in the only place it could be. I thought it was a major league throw. I could be wrong, but I want to see how he does in week two. Absolutely. Regarding that game. So, three games on the NFL slate tonight. And then heading into the weekend, Browns are taking on the Colts. Got to be curious with the Browns to see how much everybody play. Baker Mayfield came out last week and threw probably the best precision drill out of anybody last week in week one. That offense was clicking. But if I remember, a 77-yard drive, looked like they were in midseason form. I liked what I saw. Can they come back and do it again for a longer time if they get more minutes? The Colts on the other side. Yesterday we were reporting the Colts were the word out of Colts camp was with Andrew Luck with this lower left leg injury. At first it was an ankle, then it was a high ankle sprain. It's not an Achilles, but they're being extra cautious. Then earlier this week we're like, it's looking very likely that Andrew Luck may not even make the season opener. Might miss that game. Jacoby Brissett better get ready. But now another report comes out today that the Colts have guarded optimism. Guarded optimism, quote unquote, that maybe Andrew Luck will indeed be able to play week one of the regular season. Patriots and Titans going at it tomorrow as well. Chiefs and Steelers. How much is Patrick Mahomes going to play there? Lions taking on the Texans. And then there's the Cowboys and the Rams at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Why so late, you say? Well, in case you didn't know, that is at Aloha Stadium in Honolulu. So check this out. You've got the Cowboys. They got out of Texas. They've been training in Oxnard, California, just a few miles down the road from where the Rams are. They're all going all the way out to Hawaii to play this game. And Ezekiel Elliott, the running back for the Cowboys, is in Cabo. They're all over the place. Let's see. We've got the Saints and the Chargers going on. Again, no new news on Melvin Gordon. We played you a soundbite earlier from Phillip Rivers. He's hopeful that his running back can get himself a deal that makes him happy and gets him back on the football field. Kind of a backslide slash correction of maybe a comment that just – I don't think he meant any harm with the comment a week and a half ago. When he said, look, we're in good shape at running back. We hope he gets back here, but we got some young guys here, and I think that set Melvin Gordon off the wrong way. And so I think Phillip Rivers overcompensated with his comment from yesterday, certainly hoping that the running back is back soon, but with the money that keeps him happy. So we'll see. Seahawks and Vikings over the weekend, and your Monday Night Football tilt on ESPN, 49ers and the Broncos, week two of the NFL preseason. So with all that, I'm looking at the big board here. We got 8 days left before Florida and Miami. 8 days. It is a week from tomorrow. Next week is game week. We are all very excited about that one in particular. Pretty much the rest of college football gets underway a week later on August 31st. That is 15 days away. And then our NFL opening night, September 5th, for real, is in 20 days. So it's here. Speaking of college football, let me get this out. College football has announced the dates for the release of the 2019 rankings that help us determine who is going to play in the playoffs. The first release of the schedule, this seems a little later than normal. Maybe I'm misremembering. You know, they're all Tuesday nights. Tuesday, November 5th at 9 p.m. Extra late. So the first time we'll get any kind of ratings for college football will be November 5th, and then every Tuesday after that. But the one that you need to circle, the one that's on the calendar, the one that determines who's going to be in the college football playoff, and the one that's going to say that probably two of the four slots is Clemson and Alabama, so why play the season? Just kidding. Sunday at noon, December 8th, that's when we'll find out who's going in the college football playoff. That's all that really matters at that point. All right. Elsewhere, we've got, we like to always report which schools are finally getting on the bandwagon here and having alcohol sales at their games, because for the longest time, you couldn't buy a beer at a game, for crying out loud. So, as we told you, Tennessee is going to start with the alcohol sales. But it's interesting. You know who they're going to play in that first game that they're going to do it? September 2nd or 7th? Their second home game. That's when they're going to start the alcohol sales. They're not going to do it with the first home game. They're going to do it with the second home game against BYU. BYU, the school, Mormon country. No beer, no alcohol. I don't even think they allow caffeinated drinks like Coca-Cola to be sold at their home games. And here they are coming to Tennessee, Rocky Top, and they're going to be beer a-flowing. Just kind of a little irony, if you will. All right, phone number 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Got some more college football news for you in just a moment. Pittsburgh Brian on the phone wants to talk about Kyler Murray. We've been spending a lot of time talking about Kyler. Brian, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing, sir?
Very good. What did you think of Kyler Murray last night?
Did not see it, so I cannot comment on him. I wish the gentleman best of luck. However, I want to speak. I mean, he seems like he has a lot of talent. I didn't see him last night, but I do not like the system he is in, meaning Cliff Kingsbury. I know they're looking for the next Sean McVay, but how are they expecting him to be successful as a sexy hire if he wasn't successful with Patrick Mahomes and what they had down at Texas Tech? I know they're looking for the next Sean McVay, but I don't understand that hire. I don't know if it's a good fit for Kyler Murray.
I don't know that it is either. We've talked about this a lot on the show, and I know you've heard it too, because Cliff Kingsbury, was an average, 500 coach with Patrick Mahomes, and he ran Baker Mayfield off before he went to Oklahoma. Let's not forget. So I don't know. He thinks he's going to come here and run this college program or whatever, his big offense. But the thing that stuck out to me last night is Kyler Murray had a big problem. They're doing the clapping of the hands snap count. And if you didn't see it, that's what they did. And they called him for movement because he was too aggressive in his clapping. The line was moving. It was bad. They got a lot of penalties on it. And Cliff Kingsbury says, oh, no, the officials have never seen it like this. They'll get used to it. We had a nice talk. I'm like, no way, dude. You're the rookie coach with the rookie quarterback. You guys have to adjust. So I was very alarmed by that last night. All right. Any of these other games interest you this weekend? I guess you're probably going to watch the Steelers, right? Pittsburgh Brian, you there? Going one? I think we lost his connection a little bit there. All right, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it. He's a regular caller to the show.
Craig, real quick, too. Somebody texted in, and I just did indeed verify and confirm at 1:15 p.m. this afternoon, Young Chris at ESPN99.3 on Twitter simply tweeted, done.
Really?
Yes.
So he tweeted it out?
He tweeted it out at 1:15, done.
All right. We had a lot of people call in and text in and want to find out how he did. So he did it. Went through with it. Sitting there with his boo-boo peas. All right. Got some more college football news I want to get to you and get some more phone calls to. I found it amusing that athletic director at Southern Cal, you know who that is, right? The athletic director at Southern Cal, Lynn Swan. Right. He said the expectation for his program and for Coach Clay Helton is to win the conference championship in 2019. That ain't happening. I'm going to tell you that right now. That's not happening. So if that means Clay Helton is done, that means Clay Helton is done. And a lot of people are very unhappy with Lynn Swan over there, too, at Southern Cal. Coming up in a moment, I'll tell you who Sports Illustrated said has the best fight song as we get ready for the season. But first, back to the phones at 239-337-ESPN. Robert on a cell phone. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Hi, Robert.
Hey, guys. I'm always trying to think of a way to make money. That Tennessee thing got me going. I think every school that's going to offer alcohol should make T-shirts that call it the Temptation Bowl and always bring that school in. I can only imagine how many people from Utah are going to fly into Tennessee just for, you know, imagine the production you can make out of it. So the Temptation Bowl sounds good to me.
That's an idea to get some T-shirts going. You could definitely do that. I'm going to say that the people of BYU are steady and untemptable. This is how they roll, man. This is their lifestyle. But they're going to go in and they're going to see a rowdy bunch at Neyland Stadium. There's no doubt about that.
All right, man.
All right, Robert. Have a great weekend. Appreciate the phone call. Colin in the Cape. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to chime in. I heard you guys talking about Kyler Murray and the offense that he's in. First and foremost, Go Birds, diehard Eagles fan, going to the Super Bowl this year.
All right.
But back on track, Kyler Murray, I feel that he is going to fit well in that style of offense. I really believe in it. The RPO, it is a bit of the college-esque, but if you think about it, it's got to conform kind of what Kyler Murray's strengths are, and that style of offense, I feel, is what suits him best, that he could be successful in. And yeah, they're going to have to adapt, obviously, to the NFL and being a rookie coach, a rookie quarterback's a challenge, but I feel like some of the RPOs they are running are really interesting to see on that level and seeing how guys are going to defend. You know, when you run a zone right and you have a quick screen to the guy on the sideline, you have an athlete like Kyler Murray making a decision that he puts that linebacker in conflict to choose either to shoot that screen or to play Kyler Murray. And if Kyler Murray can be smart running the ball and the athlete that he is, I think it could work well. I'm really looking forward to watching it unfold in the NFL.
I think that's the one play that he can do well because of his ability to move, and he does have a rifle of an arm. But I think defensive coordinators are going to start taking that away from him, and then I want to see what's going to happen. Now, one good thing he's got Larry Fitzgerald out there who seems to just sing his praises for him all the time, and Larry sees him in practice every day and all that. So he definitely has that going for him. But this is definitely going to be a slow roll. I think it's going to take a little while to get him going.
Yeah, I agree as well. You know, they're not just going to start lighting it up week one with this style of offense. But I think if they can figure out the kinks, and yeah, defense coordinators are already drawing up schemes against it, but it's tricky whenever you have to cover the run, the quarterback running, and then a screen play or a slant behind the linebacker that shoots on the power play. It's a lot that goes into the RPO that's tricky, and Kyler Murray's got the IQ to execute it. He's got the confidence to execute it, and he's got a lot of people to prove wrong. And I'm excited to watch the guy play. It's a new era of football, and the quarterback position keeps changing, and it's going to be cool to see.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it, too. Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. That's Colin in the Cape. If you want to react to what you saw last night with all the preseason games, but I think the story is Kyler Murray and how you think he looked and how he will do. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Don't forget Dolphins and Bucks tonight as well. Got this Sports Illustrated list. Who has the best fight song? Who has the best fight song in all college football as the college football season is a mere 8 days away with Florida and Miami? I'll have that next. Plus, Wikipedia is Rickipedia today. Elvis trivia on the anniversary of his death. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely, I'll be just lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Elvis Presley passing away 42 years ago today at the age of 42, 1977. So we are playing some Elvis Presley tribute music today for our bumper music. Rick Church on the other side of the glass doing a great job with all that. Chris isn't here. He did go through with the vasectomy. We did get confirmation on Twitter. So he's icing them down right now. And Pete Shepard probably played some horrible golf because I haven't heard how he did in his Ryder Cup tournament that he was – two-day tournament. Had to burn a day off to do it. All right, going into the break, I wanted to tell you that Sports Illustrated has been putting out a lot of lists lately in honor of college football and college football's 150th season. So the latest they had, we'll run down some of these lists over the last week. The best fight song in college football, absolutely agree with this. Cannot deny it. Hail to the victors for the University of Michigan. Number one. Fact.
Can't argue with that.
That is a great, great, great one. You know, Gerald Ford, when he was president, you know, because Gerald Ford went to Michigan, played football, played center for the football team. You know, every time the president goes anywhere, you hear the band, the presidential band plays Hail to the Chief. There were many times when he arrived somewhere, he would say, no, play Hail to the Victors as I walk in. Very classic. Let's see. Also on the list, Oklahoma's Boomer Sooner, Tennessee's Rocky Top. Followed by Notre Dame's Victory March. That is also a very good one. Wisconsin's On Wisconsin. Is that true? I don't. I can't picture it in my head. The Wisconsin fight song.
Can't either.
You got. See, that's the problem. You gotta. It's got to be where everybody knows it. And if you don't, how can it be in the top five? It's crazy. Speaking of Michigan, if you're a Wolverines fan and you have a sweet tooth, they got something for you at Michigan at the Big House this year. They got the truly insane M Block Crazy Milkshake. Of course, the M Block is their logo, the big block M. The crazy milk. It's cookies and cream, a milkshake topped with a lot of extras. Like one of the extras in the milkshake is an additional ice cream sandwich, a chocolate chip cookie, a sugar cookie, a chocolate wafer, two donut holes, all topped with blue and yellow sprinkles. Oh, that sounds good. You know I'm a sugarholic. I can knock that down. Mm. Absolutely knock that down.
Sounds like a nice dinner.
It has enough calories for a dinner, no question about it. I got to do equal time here since I talk Michigan. I got to talk Ohio State. Ryan Day expects Ohio State to name a starting quarterback on Monday. They got Justin Fields and Gunnar Hoke. Going to be one of those two guys. So we shall see soon enough. Coming up, going to recap the headlines of the day. A lot more football to get to. It is the 4 o'clock hour, and we'll do more Elvis trivia as well because we got Wikipedia coming up on the anniversaries of his death and, of course, more Elvis music for bumper music today. So we're going to have a lot of fun. It's a Friday. We're halfway home. 2 hours done, two to go. We've got no Pete Shepard, we got no Chris, but we do have Rick Church and me, Craig Sheeman. It's the Sheeman and Shepard Show on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.